So this is Live Till 5. And for some of you, you know what that means. Some of you are listeners that have not heard Live Till 5. Live Till 5 is a program that we started in, I believe, 2013. And we ran consecutively for about 6 years. And then I moved away for a little while. So my name's Jared Baldwin. I'm the executive pastor at Harvest Baptist Church and here at Harvest Ministries. Welcome back to Live Till 5. I'm your host, Jared Baldwin. In studio with me, I have a few special guests here. Well, Chris is special, but he's always here. So I don't know if you can call him a guest or if he's the landlord. I'm not quite sure what to call you, Chris.
Station manager.
Station manager. That's on the perhaps business card. That's what's on the plaque outside the door. All right. And I do have also with me, got to make sure I don't scream into this microphone. I think I almost blew up the system.
Just make sure the volume is lower than you're used to having it. Yeah.
And use my inside voice. Every time the lights go red, Chris, the board does something funny there. But okay. Well, we do have in studio with us Joanna Havilana. She's going to be talking about foster care focus in just a little bit. But I thought, who would be a good person to pair with Joanna to kind of keep her calm and help her stay focused? And none of those people were available, so instead we invited Gabby Paulin to be up here. Gabby, have you ever been on the radio up here before?
I have.
Okay, what were you up here for?
I don't remember. I think like a student highlight or something like that, or to tell my testimony, something.
Okay.
Random.
All right. Great. And what was your major in college again?
I studied communications.
This is perfect. Yeah. This is good. You get to dust off some of those skills.
Adding this to my resume.
That's good. All right. And Joanna, what did you study in college, by the way?
Marketing management.
Marketing management. I'm going to turn you up just a little bit here so we can hear you. Marketing management. And so this segment of the show actually is not very serious. It's an opportunity for us to try out some of the many delicious drinks that the Hub makes. And so we have a coffee shop here on campus for those that are listening but don't usually make it over this way. In our coffee shop, they have a full menu, snacks and baked goods, but they also have these great drinks, hot and cold drinks. And although the hours are only 7:30 to 3:30, so you can't get one today, well, you still have 9 minutes if you can rush in there and just say I want what he said. But this gives us a chance to feature some of those drinks. And no one in here knows exactly what they're drinking. They picked one based on what looks appealing to them or whatever. And so what we do for the segment is we take a sip and we describe, what does it taste like? You know, either what flavor do we think is in it, or, you know, how does it make us feel or whatever. And then I'll reveal what each drink is. And so let's start with Gabby. Okay. Describe your drink for us, for the listening audience.
Okay. That's it.
She's sipping.
Oh, it's definitely like a matcha flavor. It's kind of earthy, but it has like an aftertaste. I think there might be like Oreo.
Oh.
Based on the look of it, too.
Oh. What would you call that color of green?
Because
it's not really a... It's not like Shamrock Shake green.
It's like shag carpet from 1970.
No, it's
oh, that's delectable. That's delightful.
I love Shrek.
I want the shag carpet drink.
Can I get the swamp drink, please?
Yeah. It has, I think, because whatever the second ingredient is, mm-hmm. It takes that matcha green and makes it just look a little darker.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I was going to say dirtier, but that doesn't sound very tasty.
It's vintage. It's like vintage green. Yes.
You can order like a dirty something.
It's true. You know what? It looks like 1970s kitchen appliances is what it looks like.
Yeah, that's exactly
like the backsplash.
Yes. 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 There you go. Exactly. So do you like it?
I like it. I'd order this.
Okay. Awesome. Joanna, describe your drink.
It's pink and it looks kind of like a fruit splash. That's what I'm guessing from the look of it, mm-hmm. with some whipped cream on the top.
Mm. Okay. All right. Does it taste like you described? You've got a puzzled look.
It tastes like juice. Like
juice.
Is it really sweet?
Like calamansi juice. But ooh, it's okay. Pink. So I'm confused why it's pink.
Mm. That's ooh. Why we play this game, because we like to confuse our guests and see, you know, if if they can figure it out. It's a little bit of a quiz game.
Or like some passion fruit.
Ooh.
But there's whipped cream on the top that's like floating to the bottom.
So yeah, it's a very aesthetic drink. It is. It's a very aesthetic
drink. Foam.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We have Gabby up here to boss you around too. Chris, what about your drink?
Well, I know beforehand already that it's decaf because yes. I can only have decaf.
Yeah, you should don't, see him when he's on caffeine, folks.
Yeah.
Wild man.
It's a coffee drink. Obviously, you can tell by the color that it's a a coffee drink. It's a iced drink. There is a flavor in there, I believe.
Yes.
I don't know what the flavor is, but I think they have put a flavor in it.
Yes. It's like ambrosia flavored. That's what I call anything that's delightful, but I can't quite put my finger on it. It's just ambrosia flavored.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's delightful, but it's okay. It tastes okay.
Okay.
It's kind of a sweet coffee drink.
Okay. That's sweet coffee drink.
That's what I've
iced. Iced. Not dark brown, kind of not a light brown. So okay. So I have a drink that's a dark brown, like a milk chocolatey brown with ice, but it has a purple like Grimace, the purple guy from McDonald's Happy Meal, foam on top. Let me take a sip. Ooh, that's good. That is definitely a coffee drink. The purple foam, probably a taro type foam, is slowly melting down into the drink, making it even creamier. Let's do the big reveal of what are in these drinks. I know our listening audience is just sitting on the edge of their seats with this. Number one would be Joanna's drink. That's called Tori's Tea. I think it's named after Tori, who works in the coffee shop. That is not written in English, but I think I can figure out it's hibiscus, berry hibiscus tea with calamansi, sugar, and coconut cold foam.
Oh, did you get that flavor?
I got the calamansi.
Calamansi and berry hibiscus tea. So it's really a tea drink.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
I had that the other day, and it is a delightful drink. It's a really neat drink as far as like just the look of it. It's pretty cool. So, okay. The second one is Gabby's, the Cookie Monster, matcha and Oreo.
Oh, I was right.
Yes, you nailed it.
Oh, sick.
All right. And then Chris, you have the Mr. Harper drink is what it's literally written on here.
It's probably a vanilla.
It's decaf mocha.
Oh, it's a mocha.
With macadamia nut syrup.
Yeah. Okay.
And then mine, I have the Ube cold brew. That's coffee, cold brew, coffee with a taro cold foam.
Oh,
and
nailed it.
All of these are great. We want to say thank you to the fine staff down at the Hub. If you rush over there, you can probably get in there in the next 4 minutes. But the Hub helps. And they not only help us, and it's not just a benefit for the campus, but all the proceeds above and beyond the cost of what it takes to run the Hub go to missions projects. And the Hub has given $10,000 to $15,000 a year or more to missions projects for almost 20 years. And so that's a lot. We need to probably celebrate that more and make that more of a public thing. I think people would appreciate that every time they buy one of these drinks, that a little bit of that does go to missions. And it's not just, you know, staying in-house. So we appreciate those folks down at the Hub, Nikki and her team, putting these drinks together for us. And this would be a regular thing for our listening audience. So what I'd like to do is I'm going to take a very short break. And when I come back, I want to talk to Joanna about foster care a little bit. So you're listening to Live Till 5 here on KHMG. And we're going to enjoy our drinks during this break. Stay tuned. We're back with a little more Live Till 5. I'm your host, Jared Baldwin, joined by Joanna and Gabby. Joanna's here. She actually works at Harvest House, our foster care ministry here at Harvest. And Joanna, I wanted to take some time each week to make sure we're focusing on foster care. We have an opportunity here. It's really a responsibility that we've taken on where we want to make an impact on foster children, but really the greater foster community. And so wanted to give a little platform on a weekly basis to elevate the needs, some of the neat things that are happening, some of the things that people can be getting involved in, praying about, things like that. And so what do you want to talk about with foster care today?
Yeah, I think the most recent thing to talk about or upcoming thing would be our spring photo event, which is actually tomorrow. And we will be hosting all our licensed foster families. They're all invited, and we get to have volunteer photographers come in, and they're going to take family photo shoots. We're going to have Easter egg hunt, some dinner, and some games and activities on the field. And it's just, it's probably one of my favorite events. It's just such a fun time just to bless the licensed foster family specifically for just stepping up and being foster parents to kids who aren't related to them in any way, and they just had the heart to become foster parents. So yeah, it's we have that tomorrow. And
why photos? Like, if someone's hearing this for the first time, they might be thinking, yeah, it's a nice gesture, but why did we choose to do photos all those years ago?
Yeah, so after all the photo shoots, we'll get all the photos back, and we actually get to make photo books for the kids and family canvases to put up on their walls. A lot of these kids have never really seen their pictures up on their walls in their homes, probably, or if they're staying in someone else's home, it's probably all their family photos. And just to kind of give them a sense of security and stability that they get to be a part of this family, and during this time they're loved by this certain family, and they get to bring the photo books with them wherever they go next, depending how long they stay in that family.
Yeah, I think that's really a neat way to take something that is a negative, right? So these children have been removed from their biological parents' home, mm-hmm. and very disrupted, even in the best of circumstances, it's very scary and disruptive. And in the worst of circumstances, there's all kinds of trauma and things. And so you're taking really a scenario that starts out very negative, and you're adding something that can actually turn it into something positive. Because as I think about, you know, you have some foster children, they're so young, they might not really have a conscious memory of this little period of time, mm-hmm. but they're going to be able to have a photo book years later, and it's gonna be part of their story. They're gonna be able to say, hey, wow, these people loved me, they brought me into their home. And these people they might still be with years later, mm-hmm. or these folks might be someone they never remember because they've been reunited with other family, or maybe they've moved into another family's home. So I think that's really neat. How many people do you estimate are gonna be participating in this event?
So far, we probably have a little under 200 people.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow, 200. So how many foster kids do you think will be, or foster families will participate out of that?
So that's about 40 foster families.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And how many photographers do you have lined up?
So far, we have 11. Some drop and some come in. So we'll see by tomorrow. It really just depends on the event day.
Yeah. Well, and I know that the event has been fine-tuned over the years, too, because we used to have it like middle of the day and things like that. But now you kind of picked a beautiful location, and then you're doing it during golden hour, so mm-hmm. the pictures will be really nice as well. And so it's very smart the way you guys did it. And I heard there might be some dignitaries attending as well, right?
Yes, yeah. We're hoping, or we have a couple lined up coming, and just being able to share that experience with the foster families is going to be special, and just say a few words of thankfulness to them, especially since April's Child Abuse Prevention Month, and May Foster Care Awareness Month. So we're lucky for that they get to be there as well.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let's take a minute and just talk about Harvest House itself. People that have been around Harvest for a while, they're familiar with Harvest House because we're just constantly, you know, beating that drum. But there might be some listeners that really aren't familiar with what Harvest House is or the scope of what Harvest House does. Could you give us a little pitch about what is Harvest House? What do you guys do?
Yeah, in short, our motto is helping Guam's foster community. We do that. We have several different services, one being an emergency triage center. So when CPS takes the kids from their home, we're one of the first places they stop at, and they bring the kids in, and we really just get to see them from in the condition that they're coming in from their home. And we get to shower them and give them food, get them all the clothes they need to go to the next placement, wherever CPS finds homes for them. We also do recruiting and training and retaining for foster parents. So we do informational meetings to get people to become foster parents because the need is so big. And we do support meetings once parents are actually foster parents. And we do our big events. So we have three big events throughout the whole year, our spring photo event, which we just talked about, and then our back-to-school event, getting school supplies for all the foster kids. And then our Christmas event is when we bless them during Christmas with toys. And a lot of it is just we really want all the families to have a place to fellowship, and siblings separated in different families getting to be able to see each other is a special time during our events as well. And then foster families are able to come to Harvest House and come to our resource room and shop once a month. Everything
and
is free.
And by shop. Okay, yeah.
Everything is free. We get donations from the everyone in the community drops off, you know, their clothes, shoes, baby items. So they get to come and get some pairs of clothes, new pair of shoes, backpacks, whatever they need for that month for their foster child. And in short, that's probably, I think I covered sure. all the bases.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the donations. What type of donations do you guys receive?
So used donations, we'll get clothes, shoes, and baby items. So car seats, we're always needing to give out car seats depending on the age of the kids that come in. Pack and plays, bouncers, things like that. But new items, we're always looking for the hygiene items. So shampoos, conditioners, diapers. Diapers is a huge need for us all the time. And yeah, wipes, pull-ups, things like that. So. Yeah. All the essentials.
Plus toys. I know you have a lot of toys you give away as well. And I think for our listening audience too, when you're picturing foster care, a lot of times we picture infants and toddlers, but really a foster child could be a 16 or 17 year old. And so all the things a 16 or 17 year old boy or girl might need, you think about that. They're going to school. They're, you know, trying to live that stage of life. They need all of those things. And so we accept donations in all those areas, and we accept financial donations. We have a number of business partners and individuals. Can you explain real quick? I've seen the, I mean, I'm saying this as if I don't know the answer. So, I mean, I kind of know the answer, but I can't remember how to describe it or what it's called. But you see the Harvest House sticker on some businesses' doors. What do you call that program again? And how do businesses participate in that?
Yeah. So those are our foster-friendly businesses, and they give discounted or free services or goods directly to our foster families or to Harvest House. So, for example, Foremost gives us donations of milk every month. So we'll pick it up from them, and we give it out throughout the month to the foster families that come and shop every month at Harvest House. We have KFC that does
You'll see the sign at every KFC right on the cash register.
They have like a certain meal and a certain amount of that. Their payment goes to a donation for Harvest House. So any business can really, whatever capacity they can be of service to us, they'll reach out to us and see how they can help the foster families. And we just are really thankful for our foster-friendly business. Specifically for our spring photo event, we have a bunch of foster-friendly businesses that are providing different foods for this event. So it'll be a big fiesta of all our foster-friendly
That's
businesses.
Great. Yeah, that's great. Well, and what we've seen with foster families is foster families are not typically families that just have this big surplus of money and a giant house and lots of extra. They're just normal families that are getting by. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to treat them to a fiesta, to be able to treat them to, you know, sometimes they get like a gift card from Harvest House to eat out somewhere. That's not necessarily something they get to do all the time because they have a big heart, but they might not necessarily have a big checkbook to go with that. And so every little thing that we're able to help with just helps support that. Maybe as we wrap up this interview, what do we do? What does Harvest House do to help the foster care system? So besides the children and the foster families, you have CPS and social workers and things like that. What are we doing to support them?
For CPS, we want to help as much as we can take the load off of all the caseworkers. It gets stressful with how many cases they have. So even just being a place where we can have the kids come, and while CPS is working on placement, just allowing them or us being able to just watch the kids and sit with them while they have to do the work that they need to, being a place where they can meet, a facility where they can meet families, and also hosting our informational meetings, mm-hmm. Just trying to get as many people to foster, because the need is so, like I said, the need's so big. There's 675 foster kids and only 80 licensed foster families. So we're doing as much as we can to spread the awareness, and we're just thankful for the businesses and the individuals who've helped us along the way.
Yeah, that's great. So if someone wants to know more about how to either volunteer or attend an informational meeting, how do they get a hold of you? Where do they find you?
Yeah, you can call us 671-300-LIFE. That's our office number. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. Or you can check on our website, harvesthouseguam.org, I believe. Yes. Got the thumbs up. Yes, harvesthouseguam.org. You can check out our website. We have right on the homepage, either if you want to become a foster parent, there's a button for that, or donate or volunteer. It'll show you where to go, and we will help you as much as we can, and we want to help anyone along their foster care journey and just encourage that.
Yeah, excellent. All right. And then if people want to make donations, drop off donations, they can come right here on campus at Harvest.
Yeah.
The Harvest House facilities are kind of tucked back in behind the Family Life Center, but we have people there Monday through Friday during the days, and you can come by and call ahead at 671-300-LIFE so they can know you're coming, and they'll meet you at the door and receive your donations.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks, Joanna. Thanks, Gabby, for being moral support. Joanna's,
yes.
You know, she doesn't want to just do this solo. Yeah. She wants to have someone, you know, by her side.
There you go. Support her and Harvest House.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you, ladies, both for coming. Hope you enjoy your drinks also.
Yes, thank you
for having us.
All right. Have a great weekend. Have a great event, Joanna. That's going to be awesome.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Or someone from Harvest House next week.
Okay.
All right. You're locked in. Okay. All right. We'll see you ladies later. And that was Joanna Havilana with Harvest House. Again, if you want to contact them, you can call them at 671-300-LIFE, L-I-F-E, or you can go to harvesthouseguam.org. Look at the website, and there's a button right there you can click on to volunteer or give. And we would love to see you get plugged in with this very real and ongoing need here at Harvest House, helping the foster care community on Guam. The children, the parents, and of course, the social workers and those in the system. So we're going to take a break here in just a moment. We have some students coming up from Harvest Christian Academy to talk about their big drama. But before we do you know it's springtime? So here in the tropical world, our springtime is a little different. But where the largest majority of the populations live in the world, they have multiple seasons. It's not just tropical weather all year long, or, you know, those that live up in the northern territories, maybe it's cold weather all year long. A lot of the world enjoys the advent of springtime. And so I read an article today, 15 invigorating spring facts to lift your spirits. Now, maybe your spirits are already lifted, like the ladies that were just with us. You know, they just seem to be happy all the time, kind of giggling all the time. It's great. But maybe you need your spirits lifted. So let's read through these 15 invigorating facts about spring, and then we'll take a break and then come back with the HCA students. First, did you know spring starts at different times in the northern and southern hemispheres? I mean, if you think about geography, it makes sense. But, you know, springtime in the northern hemisphere starts around now in April. Springtime in the southern hemisphere starts in September, and so the seasons are switched. More babies are born during the spring, all of nature. In springtime, you get more daylight, because once we hit the spring equinox or the vernal equinox, that's the equinox is the day where the night and daytime are evenly balanced. But once we pass that date, the days start getting longer. And so you get more vitamin D, get more daylight, which can really boost your mood. It's really a good thing. Let's see here. The start of spring can make you feel sick. I was surprised to read this. But normally, you think about springtime and everything's high energy. But actually, there are some common symptoms of spring fever, including rapid mood changes, restlessness, and low energy. Now, this isn't fatal and it passes pretty quickly, but it is a phenomenon that happens. The term spring cleaning dates way back to the 19th century in the 1840s. And it wasn't until 1894 that it was first used as a verb in the London Daily News publication. But they think it goes even farther back to the Jewish festival of Passover. Legend says groundhogs can predict an early spring season. Of course, you know, Groundhog Day in the States. Spring was originally called Lent. I did not know that. You know, Lent now is reserved for Christian celebrations, but Lent was the old name for the spring season. So in the Old English, the word Lenten referred to the longer days in the season. And so springtime, eventually the emergence of plants and things like that took over, but originally Lent was the name of the season. Children grow faster in spring. Nobody knows why, but scientists speculate it could be because children get more sunlight during the springtime. Visitors crowd New Mexico's Mayan archaeological site, which I cannot pronounce, but everyone wants to be there in the springtime because they believe there's some special things that happen there. First day of spring has equal hours of daylight and darkness. That's the equinox that I was talking about. Hibernating animals emerge in spring. This is something that doesn't really happen in this tropical environment, but if you live somewhere where there's seasons, then you'll see the emergence of hibernating animals. Did you know that Egypt's Great Sphinx aligns with the spring equinox? During sunset on the spring equinox, the sun descends behind the shoulders of the Sphinx, which lines up with the pyramid Giza that looms behind it in the distance. Their alignment causes their silhouettes to fuse, framing the Sphinx perfectly. Another fun archaeological observation, remaining 24 pillars of the Sphinx temple also align in the vernal equinox. Spring is arriving earlier and earlier. And then finally, your sense of smell can improve during spring. I did not know this, but because there's more moisture in the air, the moisture allows you to smell better. So you get more senses. Your senses are more keenly tuned in the springtime. So hopefully that cheers you up a little bit for your springing into spring. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back after this break, going to be talking to some HCA students, Harvest Christian Academy students, who are participating in this year's drama. So stick around. This is Live Till 5, KHMG, Harvest Family Radio. I'm Jared Baldwin, your host. We'll be right back. We are back with Live Till 5, and I have in studio a whole bunch of people, actually. These folks are all involved in the HCA drama, which, if you're listening to the live broadcast, that's tonight, Friday night, and Saturday. Today is the 5th of April, so 5th of April and 6th of April. If you're listening to a rebroadcast, then, of course, that's obsolete information. But still going to talk about the drama, because this is really fun to get people up here to kind of talk about what they're doing, something special. Kelly, you are the drama director.
That is correct.
Producer.
Yep.
And
chef.
Chef. Okay, that's great. Yeah, I know that's a big part of drama culture is you do eat meals together. You spend a lot of time together.
On Play Week, yes, we do.
Yeah. Well, in the next 5 minutes or so, I want to talk a little bit about this drama. Can you give us a quick rundown, the name of the drama and what it's about?
Sure. The drama is called Our Miss Brooks, and it's a play about an English teacher who is having to put on the school play again after she thought she'd have a year off from it. And there's been fights with her and the basketball coach in years past. She struggles with the administration, with the school board, trying to get funds, and a child of the school board who wants a bigger role than she deserves. And then, in general, shenanigans occur through the process of putting on this play, and you get to watch and see whether or not the play will go on. So it's a fun production, lots of comedy, lighthearted moments, some drama in there as well.
Okay, excellent. Let's talk about where and when it is. So those that are listening to the live broadcast again, it is this evening. Give us the time and place.
Sure. So April 5th and 6th, doors open at 6:30, and the play begins at 7.
Okay, excellent. And I think it's $7 for students, $10 for adults.
That is correct.
And all that money goes to help Kelly feed these kids.
That's mostly true.
It goes to hungry children. Okay,
helps
excellent.
Feed the hungry children at Harvest.
Well, we have 1.5 actors, and we have 1.5 crew members here today. So we have one person that's half and half. But introduce yourselves from left to right. Step right up to the microphone and what your role is with this year's drama.
Hello, I am Troy Prinz. I'm a part of the cast and also a part of the promo video.
Okay, all right. You next.
Hi, everyone. My name is Marissa Koh. I play Miss Brooks in this year's play.
Okay. All right. I saw the little commercial with
yes.
you. Okay.
Was...
All right. Yeah. All right.
Hello. My name is Caleb, and I do set construction.
Okay. Excellent. All right. So how many weeks, let's ask you, Miss Brooks, how many weeks have you been practicing and rehearsing to get to this night?
About three months.
3 months. Wow.
Yeah,
that's a big investment of time.
Yeah, it really is.
So, and what has been the most rewarding part of it for you?
Definitely the dress rehearsals and seeing everything come together, because I stayed up reading lines so many times.
Sure.
So the hard work has paid off.
Sure.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Troy, what about you? You've been involved in this now a couple months. What's been the most rewarding part for you?
I'd have to say finally getting the promotional video finished and seeing it, be displayed on Instagram and Facebook and different other sites, and seeing all the people watch it and their reactions.
Sure. And what about you?
Probably the moments in between where we're practicing, where we get up to our own shenanigans and really have some fun.
Sure. So I know that drama, I got to be involved a little bit with drama at the college I was at, and just kind of helping with some of the things that you do behind the scenes. And there's definitely a camaraderie that's developed. It becomes like a little family. Drama is a great place. What is surprising is you have people that get involved in drama that might not always be the most vocal people, but when they're put in a situation where they get to perform in a drama, they do find something inside themselves and they kind of step up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, you've seen that transformation with many different students.
Oh, yeah. Over the years, it happens a lot.
What's your favorite part of being involved in these dramas?
I think seeing people find some confidence in things, and confidence in their abilities, confidence in the production, the wild craziness of a tech week. Tech week is kind of the highlight of everybody's experience with drama. It's really difficult. It's hard. You're here for long hours, late nights. Things are stressful. You're not sure if it's all going to come together. And then you get this great release at the end of a performance night when things have come together and things have gone well. And you get to see the way that relationships are built with people who may not have seen each other in other situations, people who wouldn't have been friends unless they had connected with each other in this way. And you get to see people step up and take on responsibility that they wouldn't have a chance to before. Our production is run a lot by students. We have crew leaders running, who are high school students, running our concessions team, running our hair and makeup team, running the set construction, the lights and sound, the promotional video, all these different aspects that are student-led. And I just come in and orchestrate it and make sure they have the supplies they need, and they're the experts in their field.
Yeah, I like that because I think you're inspiring leadership amongst the students, because they're having to take ownership of different aspects of this bigger production, something bigger than they can do by themselves, mm-hmm. and have to work with their peers and get them all on the same page and step up and be able to take the leadership role. No one can do it all on their own. And even when you're tired and looks like things aren't coming together, seeing young people step up in leadership, I think that's pretty rewarding.
Yeah, it's very cool to see the way that people, they build relationships with each other and build that leadership capacity for themselves.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you guys, who in here are any of you guys seniors?
I'm a senior, yes.
Okay, all right. Have you been involved in any other dramas?
I was in the last year's drama. That was Arsenic and Old Lace. I played one of the old ladies.
Okay, yeah. All right. I could see that. I'm just kidding.
Are you saying she looks old?
No, I'm just saying that she's a great actress.
Thank you.
So why did you come back to do another drama?
One part was the relationship thing. I made friends with some of the seniors who've graduated already, but I would never dream of being friends with them, no offense to them, but there was a big community and we all liked the same thing. We all liked playing around and acting really, really dumb. But yeah.
Sure. Okay. So it sounds like really the relationships you built last year, it was so fulfilling that you're like, hey, I could do that again. I'd like to, even though you also know the sacrifice that came with it.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what you're getting into.
Yes.
So, well, you guys, what brought you back? Because you've been involved in previous dramas too.
I have.
Okay. All right. What brought you back?
What brought me back was, well, last year, I was also part of promo video and not part of the cast, so I had a little more freedom, and I just started taking videos of everything that was going on during, like, cast and crew meetings, and then at the end of the year, I put it all together into one behind-the-scenes video, and it was really well, and it turned out pretty good. I had a lot of fun with it, and everyone seemed to enjoy it, and so I want to do the same thing again this year. And I'm also glad that I had a chance to be a part of the cast as well, which has really enhanced my experience with it.
Awesome. Name of the drama and when it starts.
Our Miss Brooks, tonight and tomorrow night at 6:30 is when the doors open. 7 o'clock is when the play performance begins. Tickets are $7 for students and $10 for adults.
That's great. All right. Thank you all for coming up and talking about the drama. Hope you guys have a great break a leg is what they say, right?
Break a leg. Thank you.
In a good way. All right. Thank you all. All right. And that was our HCA drama folks. They're going to be having their drama tonight. If you're listening to the live broadcast, April 5th and 6th, right here at Harvest Christian Academy, you are listening to KHMG 88.1 FM Harvest Family Radio. Another hour of Harvest Family Radio's Live Till 5. Glad to have you with us this afternoon. My name's Jared Baldwin. This is our first episode back in about 5 years. For those of you listening, we used to have this program on every Friday for 6 years, almost without missing a single Friday. We might have missed a few in there, but we had 6 years of Live Till 5, and it was a lot of fun. And then when I moved away 5 years ago, we kind of sunset the program. But then we were able to, as I moved back here in January, and I'll talk about that story probably some other time. Actually, for those listening live this weekend, a little bit of the story will be told during Harvest Time interview with Pastor Gary. But as soon as I got here, I had a few people ask me if I was interested in doing Live Till 5 again. And I really enjoy Live Till 5. It's really not even that much hard work. Now, some of you listening might be like, well, that's obvious, but it isn't a stress to me. It doesn't create a ton of extra work. And I think it creates a neat opportunity to talk about important things, but also have a little fun at the end of the week. We do hope that this show not only edifies you and informs you on things, but also entertains you a little bit. We're supposed to laugh a little bit. Laughter is a good medicine, as the Bible says. So with that, you know, we like to kind of take a lighthearted approach to things. And that's why we, in the first hour, did our What's in My Coffee segment, where we tested out some great drinks from the Hub. And we had Joanna Havilana and Gabby Paulin up here to talk with us. And Joanna stayed and talked about something very important, our foster care ministry with Harvest House and the different things that are going on, including the Spring Picture event. For those, again, listening live, that's this weekend. And then this hour, we're going to be having a couple other really neat things. I have a segment called Stranger Than Fiction, where we talk about a few lighthearted things in the news. I also have a great interview with someone that, if you've been listening to Harvest Family Radio for a while, you probably heard her and her husband's interview a while back, but Annie Weber, local author, and someone that's been creating great Christian content online, has now published a book, and I've interviewed her, and we're going to be airing that interview after this segment. So, but I invited Pastor Gary Walton to drop by in this inaugural relaunch of Live Till 5. Pastor Gary, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Pastor Jared, I'm glad to be back here. You said that we sunsetted 5 till 5 when you left. So this must be the sunrise.
It's
right?
The sunrise.
Yeah.
The sun has risen again on 5 till 5. And I'm sure that analogy breaks down quickly, but it seems to work right now. So that's one of the fun things about live radio is I believe at least 57% of the people listening are just hoping to hear me stick my foot in my mouth sometime. Everyone but my wife. My wife does not want that. She has a hard time listening because I think it makes her just nervous the whole time.
That's good. It's very good for her. Well, and I brought with me celebratory inaugural, goodies. I've got Twizzlers, small pack Twizzlers, and I've got Rolos. And Skittles, not just any Skittles. We got sour green Skittles.
Okay,
I didn't know what to bring to do inaugural Live Till 5.
Well, if we were just, Chris would be the expert on this, but if we were just talking about the absolute worst possible thing to put in your mouth while you're trying to do live radio, it would be sour Skittles, Rolos, and Twizzler Twists. But I appreciate the effort. It is it's not everyone brings gifts up here, so you get big points for
that.
Well,
I thought it was a special day. I can't promise, I'd do this always, but it was a special day, and, I was rummaging through my desk.
You set the bar very high, and so,
exactly
next time we hope you bring some spare change and a paperclip. thanks for coming up. It is fun, and I appreciate it. I talked to you first about even the idea of doing this again, and I didn't know how you would respond, and I really didn't know how Chris was going to respond, because although it's not a ton of work, it does generate some extra work. There's a little bit extra responsibility there on me, extra responsibility on Chris because of some editing and things like that. But plus, I just didn't know, is this something that we'd want to bring back? But what I had pitched to you was Live Till 5 does give us a unique opportunity to talk about things that really don't neatly fit in other venues for us to talk about.
Yeah.
We like the drama today, for example. There's we have Harvest Highlights. We kind of have the end of the spectrums. And Pastor, you could talk about this a little bit, but we have church announcements and we have Harvest Highlights. There are things that don't fit in either one of those,
exactly,
but that we'd like to talk about. What do you see as the value of not just our radio station, but even doing something like this?
Well, it didn't seem like a real big decision when you did pitch it. People loved it before, missed it when it was not on air, and then immediately when there was an announcement that you and Tammy were going to be able to come back and join us again, one of the first questions from a number of people was, will we get Live Till 5 again?
Yeah.
So, there is a cult-like following.
I don't want to be the head of a cult. I mean, that's a heavy responsibility, but cult-like, yes.
Yeah.
Well, and if you just take Abby and Devin, those are two, great fans of the show, and both like to be guests on the show, too. I know. I think that's probably why they're fans is because they also get to participate. It's kind of fun to be able to participate in something like this. So
no, but there is benefit, I think, in multiple ways. It does, the lighthearted approach does give us a chance to talk about some things in an interesting way. People are, they do want to tune in. They want to catch up.
Yep.
And then connect with some things that are important to us.
Absolutely.
And just a different a venue of being able to communicate things that are important and we want people to be aware of.
Yeah. One of our friends here, he said when he has to work on Saturdays, he looks forward to listening to the rebroadcast. And so we know that we're catching people, as they're kind of in between things, Friday afternoons. But the reason we originally started 11 years ago with that 3 to 5 slot is we know we're catching people in car line who are tuning in to hear if their kid is student of the week, right?
Right.
And then we're catching students and faculty that are on campus to talk about maybe things that are happening around our own internal community. But it's also the end of the week. It's a great time to bring in guests. It doesn't interfere with, their main work week. They're kind of wrapping up their week. And so sometimes we can invite in a guest that would be very hard to sit down with in the middle of the week because their schedules, but you tack it on to the end of the week. A lot of times we can get someone in here. And so that's a lot of fun. I look forward to doing a lot of those types of interviews. We've had, I forgot, but after we did about 360 something episodes of the show, and I forgot about all the different guests we've had. You just kind of have to kind of keep moving forward. But I've had pictures popping up, and I had a picture pop up of one of the earliest episodes. And in one episode about 13 years ago, we had missionary Paul Zimmer. We had Dr. Vince Akimoto. And then we had a bunch of other guests. I think we had some of our sports coaches all in one little episode. We just crammed it full. Yeah. And so it's just kind of fun to think back and think of all the people we've been able to interact with. And it, you know, this show's not intended to be political. It's not intended to be commercial. It still fits the mission of what we're trying to do at KHMG, but it does give us a different approach. Like, for example, Pastor, something, because we have so many things happening at Harvest Baptist Church, we can mention something, and then, of course, we can put it in print, but sometimes it's hard to, you know, we can't just talk about one thing for a long time because, you know, there's an economy of time. But on here, I can talk about, for example, we're relaunching a men's Bible study. We have multiple men's Bible studies right. going on here. They're meeting all across Ireland, all different days and times. One of the ones was one I got to be part of was the BGs, the Bible Groups for Busy Guys. I gave this to Wang, the administrative expert in our office. She goes, "You really want the word guys in there?" And I said, "Yes." And she's like, "Okay, all right." So she just didn't know that that's what we called it. So right. BGs, Bible Groups, Busy Guys. We're going to be launching that on Thursdays at 11 a.m. It's 11 to noon. It's 1 hour so that men know if they're leaving work that we're not going to take advantage of your time. You have a lunch break. You got to get back to work. So we will start and end in an hour. Now, there are some guys that they don't have to get back to work, and they'll hang around longer, and that's a lot of fun. And we have a really neat new location. So if you're interested in attending that men's Bible study, BGs, it's going to be on Thursday. So whether you're listening to this live or rebroadcast, every Thursday, 11 a.m., this is going to be happening. And you can contact me, jared.baldwin@hbcguam.net. And I can give you the location. So it's kind of hard to explain on the air, but the location is going to be, once you see it, it'll make a lot of sense. But it's going to be really great to start that Bible study up. It's a very simple Bible study. We usually look at two verses each time. It's a great Bible study to not only come to for your own spiritual edification, but to bring people along with you, even unsaved people, guys, coworkers, you know, friends and family. So, Pastor, tell us a little bit about some of the things that are happening here at Harvest that might not make it into the announcement category of the church. Because we have a couple big things we focus on, but there are other things happening behind the scenes. What else is going on at Harvest that you'd like to emphasize?
Well, just mention, you know, you said this, that there are multiple Bible studies going on, ladies as well as men, and they're at different times. And so, you know, this Thursday Bible study, 11 to 12, there will be people that can go to it. And then a number are going to say, hey, you know, that's not the right fit. So we have actually, I just came from a Friday lunch Bible study, actually meets at Micro Mall. Same kind of thing, noon to one.
I like that you meet at Micro Mall because I think even, depending on how flexible someone's job is, even if they work at Anderson or at Camp Blaz, yeah. they could get to Micro Mall, get into the food court, and be there for Bible study.
Yeah, it's very, very easy. It's kind of a central location. And yeah, I mean, we get in, just at our time, we grab some food, we sit right in the food court, people come by that we all know, we say hi to them. We prayed today about, you know, God, would you allow us to, you know, impact people around? Would they see sure. our Bible study here right yeah. out in the middle of the food court and
that's great.
Respond to that. But there's, we have a morning Bible study. Some guys, you know, they can't do a lunchtime, they can't do an evening time, but they'll come early. We have Bible yeah. studies both on campus and then off campus at some restaurants. We have a Monday evening Bible study. I think there might be a Tuesday evening as well.
Yeah.
So a number of options for men. Same thing for ladies. There is a kind of a daytime Thursday ladies Bible study. It's actually been meeting for a number of years. We have quite a few ladies that come to that here on campus. But then there's evening Bible studies. There's morning Bible studies, and so we really believe this idea that. That we need to have spiritual food that's brought to us, and we grow best in the midst of groups where there's accountability and you know, praying for each other. And so we have a number of things like that. We always want to invite people to that.
Yeah, that's great. I know personally, participating in something like this I grow. It's not about me as a pastor conducting a Bible study like teaching a class. This is really mutually beneficial. Everyone participating in these types of Bible studies is going to grow from it. So it's not just a download of one person doing all the talking, but it's a side-by-side. That accountability, I think, is really an important part. And for men, it's very, very important to have that. I think we when we get isolated, we're in danger.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
we have, and maybe I'll just mention one other main thing. Our community group ministry is thriving. I just think everybody on island ought to be a part of, you know, a group, if you're a couple or a family or an individual. We have actually on Sunday nights, we meet on Sunday nights. Some of them are in the afternoon and evening. We have 21 different groups meeting all around the island. Meet for about an hour and 15, hour and a half at a time. Share around some teaching and then some fellowship together, and we pray for each other. They're really, really important. We lead a group at our home. It is family to us, and it's just such a critical part of our own spiritual walk and fellowship. And so if you'd be interested in something like that, if you're listening, you say, man, I really need that kind of connection and fellowship with people. The Bible tells us that we were made to grow in community. We don't do well. In fact, we don't thrive at all as lone rangers, as individuals. Mm-hmm. God designed the church for us to be with people. And it's not just kind of I'm going to be careful about this, but it's not just attending, you know, a service and sort of being in the crowd. We really do need to be involved in others' lives. Hebrews 10 talks about exhorting one another as, you know, to stay the course and, you know, pursue Christ. And so we love how that's happening at Harvest. We want to connect as many people as possible with those kinds of opportunities.
Yeah. And those community groups meet all across the island on Sunday afternoons and evenings. And we meet if there's a four Sunday month, we meet basically three times in community groups. And then we have one Sunday a month where we're all together.
Right.
And for those listening live, this Sunday, we're actually going to be having baptisms and communion here at Harvest Baptist Church. Those listening to the rebroadcast, that's what we did last week. But we do that once a month. We all come together for a community, a larger community service, not just the individual community groups.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, I'm excited to see what God does with this. And thanks for stopping by and bringing the random candy that you scoured from your desk. I appreciate that. It's been a good sugary afternoon. I just finished my great drink from the hub as well. So,
Well, we're thankful. I wanted to say this. Very, very thankful for God leading Pastor Jared and Tammy back here and the influence on the ministry in so many ways. In fact, if you are listening Friday afternoon, if you are listening live at 6:05, we have a Harvest Time interview, and it's actually with Jared and Tammy. And I'd really encourage you to listen to that. So just a little bit from now, tell them a little bit of their story and God leading them back here. It's really a powerful, I think, segment. So let me invite you back to that as well.
Yeah, thank you.
We're excited about Live Till 5, Jared. Thank you for being
willing. Well, thank you. I'm getting some notes on my phone of people that are listening. Even one of our faithful listeners, Chris, who was one of the ones who'd messaged me during the show before and even was a guest at times. He's listening, and I surprised him by bringing the show back. I forgot to mention it to him. So yeah, surprise, Chris. Thanks, thanks for texting me. And so Pastor Gary, thanks a lot for stopping by. Appreciate it.
All right, excited about what God's going to do here.
All right, and that was Pastor Gary Walton, my friend and boss, and good friend of KHMG here. And you'll hear his voice after this show on Harvest Time. But I want to segue into what's going to become a regular staple of Live Till 5 in this new era, and it's going to be interesting interviews. I don't have a title for this segment yet, but what we're going to do is have interviews surrounding leadership, adjacent to leadership. Some of that's going to be actual leadership or legitimate, like role-based leadership. Some of it's going to be more like thought leadership, and sometimes it's just going to be a very interesting person that's leading in an area. And I've met a very interesting person since I've been back here at Harvest. Her name's Annie Weber, and she's a local author. And I had the privilege of sitting down with her here in the studio and interviewing her about not just about the book, not just a promo for the book, although that is certainly worth promoting, but also about the process of writing a book. And so we're going to take a short break. And after this little outro, you'll be hearing from Annie Weber talking about the process of writing her book. So stay tuned. All right, I'm in studio with Annie Weber, local author and really a spiritual mentor to many people through what she's been writing. Annie, first off, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Pastor, for having me.
I wanted to talk a little bit about your book, but I want to talk about what's kind of surrounding the book as well. And so, first off, give us a little pitch about your book, the title, what it's about.
Absolutely. The book is called Astounding Truths of the Bible, A Bite-Sized Approach to Understanding the World's Best-Selling Book. And I wrote it because I understand my ideal reader, which is someone like me in their 20s. I never actually opened and studied a Bible until I was 28 years old. So in the process, I heard about a year and a half ago my publisher say, your book comes from your pain. And I scoffed at that. I'm like, I'm not writing this from a place of pain. And then after the fact, I realized the pain is that I didn't know the Bible as a youngster. So my ministry, my goal now is to really just break it down. It's very 101 level, but helping people who aren't super familiar with the Bible better understand it.
That's great. And so the astounding truths, why did you call it that?
You know, I will be completely honest. That was a download from the Holy Spirit. I remember I got the idea. I was sitting. My daughter was at volleyball practice in Winchester, Virginia. I started typing them out, actually on my Instagram page, and I typed them all one finger until I got serious about it and bought a laptop. But that was a name. It wasn't like a hymn and haw about the title of the book. I know a lot of people that do hymn and haw about a title, but it was very clear, Astounding Truth. And then the tagline, the secondary title, was just, you know, a better idea of, you know, it's bite-sized. So they're 100 short little chapters. I mean, they're only about 600 words each. So they're easy read. It's like kind of like a daily read. You can read one or two at a time, and it's not, you know, it's not like a 50-page chapter.
Sure. So it's a, you're not necessarily a commentary. You're more of a devotional guide, but deeper into each scripture. So it's also not just stories. You actually have a scriptural focus in every single one.
Yes, that's correct. It starts with the verse, and then it opens up with two or three sentences that relate to life. And then it goes into, okay, who said the verse? What was the context? So I'm thinking of one, King Solomon. He says he prays for wisdom. Here's why, because here's what happened the day before. And then the text, explain it, easy to understand language, and then each astounding truth ends with a prayer of how you pray that scripture. So when Solomon prays for wisdom, the prayer is two or three sentences, Lord, help me to be discerning when I'm seeking wisdom, and goes into that.
Yeah. You know, this is a great type of writing because it's not only is God's word evergreen, it's just perpetually we can study it our whole lives, but having 100 little truths with different scriptures, it's something that you could go through over and over and over again. It's not just a one-time read. It's one of those, hopefully it'll become a well-worn devotional book, you know, sitting next to someone's Bible that they read it the first time and they have all those aha moments, and then they read it again and then they share it with others. I've had a few devotional books in my life like that. That's like, wow, that's just so powerful. Just some of these little nuggets that you just weren't thinking of, or you weren't thinking of it from that perspective. What kind of feedback have you been getting from people that are reading it?
Oh, well, it is really encouraging. You know, I mean, I will say, to hear the feedback of exactly what I prayed for, I was on my knees every morning before I went to work. I would drop my preschooler off at school, and then I had a couple, 3 hours to really dial in, and that's when I did the work, but went to my knees on the side of my bed. You know, the feedback has been consistent. I love hearing the feedback of people that read it that don't know me are like, I feel like you're just a friend sitting on the couch explaining it to me, which is super cool because, I mean, that's those are the kind of books I connect with. When I feel like I know the author, but I don't really know him or her, I'm told it's funny, it's lighthearted, it's a lot of making fun of myself, it's just little quirky things that, you know, are relatable. It's a lot of 90s references, just popular culture references, things like that that are relatable, like a song lyric or... and I write about, like, Carrie Underwood sings, you know, Jesus Take the Wheel. And so I open with that song with an explaining. That's really a poetic way, and it's biblical that, you know, is giving us an understanding that God is sovereign. You know, when you say yes to Christ, Jesus is taking the wheel. So I explain, you know, back when I was younger, Jesus was in the back seat. He wasn't taking the wheel. I didn't let him, you know, ordain my path, and now I understand that. So
that's great. I think if people follow you on Facebook, they can get a little... So if it's a bite-sized piece, they can get a crumb off of the bite-sized piece of the Astounding Truths.
That's a good way to say it.
Because
I like that.
you take like just one little, I think there was one from, you just did about Luke 23, I think it was, but just a very short, you know, you're doing less than a minute.
Yes.
And it's just a portion of what that Astounding Truth would be.
Yeah, they're all under 90 seconds because that's how much the Reels lets you post. So
yes,
I have to keep them under 90 seconds. The one I posted this week is on Jesus Save. So I open with,
yes,
there's so many nuances to that word.
Yeah.
You know, save the date, a wedding invitation, life preserver saves lives, power saving mode, all those words. But what does it mean when the Bible talks about Jesus saves, or what does that mean? And how I didn't understand that question for years. It wasn't in my understanding to, you know, the process of salvation. It was kind of just a foreign thing. I'd hear people say that word, but I really did not understand what that meant.
That's great. So just as a quick side note, people can follow you on Facebook. How can they find you?
Under Andy Weber. I'm active also on Instagram, astoundingtruths.com. I have a website, Astounding Truths. So,
all right, we'll come back to that because I want to make sure people know how to contact you and follow you in this. But I wanted to ask you, so writing a book, many people that are communicators say, yeah, someday I'm going to write a book. You eventually actually did it. How much work was it? What was rewarding and what was surprising?
Yes, that's a good question. I have heard statistics on that only like 2% of people that say, I'm going to write a book, actually do it. So it's a credit, number one, to the Lord's faithfulness in my life. I talk about that in my book. Like I essentially feel like he's the ghostwriter, so to speak. I mean, he allowed me to do it. But after signing a contract with the publisher, I went full steam. I know that it's a quirky thing in my personality. I'm a little bit neurotic. Like, I mean, even back in grad school, you know, you get the papers assigned in August and they're due the week before Christmas, but I don't relax well until it's done. So by August 20, I remember getting made fun of, like, why are you skipping football games in August to do the paper that's due in December? So same thing with this book. As soon as I committed to doing it, it was like everything in my life was put on hold. Social life kind of pushed pause, and that was hard for me. I'm a high extrovert, so to kind of essentially lock myself into a room and not, you know, see people, it was a lot of saying no. It was, I mean, unfortunately, I'm just being honest, like Saturday mornings, it was a lot of my husband, can you please take all the kids out to the beach so I can have a couple hours to work, which I'm grateful. It was a family effort. I do feel at times I kind of ignored all the people I live with to get this done, but I wanted to follow through. I mean, like I said, it was a calling from the Lord. So I felt like part of my process was being obedient to the Lord to do it. It was very clear. Write about the Bible in plain language, make it easy for people to understand, and get her done.
So how long did it take from when you said, I'm going to start writing a book, to
October,
when the publisher had it?
Yes, October is when I signed the contract, October 22nd, and I submitted everything for the first round of edits on March 1st. So about 5-6 months. And then it went through a couple rounds of edits. And then, so, yeah, I mean, I would say it was a pretty, say, 5 to 6 months.
5 to 6 months with 15 hours a week of work?
Yeah, I mean, I say it was pretty consistent. Like, you know, everything had to be put on hold. It was every morning during the week, drop the kid off at preschool and work on it.
That's 300 or 400 hours of work, at least.
I would say it just, yeah, I was kind of just neurotic about just plow through it. So
that's
a lot
like
of
getting
it,
another master's degree.
That's funny. I've heard that a lot lately, too. It's like the instead of the master's degree, it's write a book. And I would say that, you know, I would say I grew in my faith journey because I sat there with 3 or 4 commentary Bibles, and I had to study. I mean, I can't just write 500 or 600 words on Paul's message to the Ephesians without sitting there myself.
Off the top of your head.
Right, yeah. Like, I don't know this stuff. I mean, everything I wrote about, like, here's the context or here's the situation. I mean, yeah, I know the basics. You know, why did Paul write to the Colossians? Mm-hmm. I know that, but I couldn't tell you, like, the details of why he said work like you're working for the Lord until I really studied it. So, yes, I do feel like, I mean, no, not a master's. I feel like this was a PhD. You should call me doctor.
Sure.
So a lot of studying, sat there with many commentaries and just, you know, just knocked it out. But again, I credit the Lord for his faithfulness. There were days it was hard. There was days where I struggled to be motivated. There were, I mean, just full transparency. I felt the spiritual attacks. You know, I do notice that more in my life, especially when it came closer to the publishing process. But I again, it's a calling. And again, here's the truth. I'll wrap this up, put a bow on it. Everything that I wrote about in the book, I feel like the Lord tested me. So the themes in the book, the sovereignty of God, God is faithful. I mean, all these themes, you know, it's like I even reread the book this week because I did the audio recording and I'm like, wow, did I really say that? Do I really believe it? Oh. Yes. I mean, it's like I was tested to live it and to understand it. Like, I write about this, but God then gave me opportunities to be like, wow, do you really believe that? I'm going to show you, or I'm going to allow yourself to see that.
Wow. So out of this whole process, this is your first book you've written?
Correct.
So what did you learn from it? What was surprising about it? Because I'm sure you walk into it and you think you know what you're getting into, but some of it, did it catch you off guard? Like, was the amount of work hard? Or like you said, the spiritual attack, or what was the most surprising aspect of going through this process?
I've learned a lot. I mean, number one, it's a business. There is a business of writing, but then publishing. I mean, my skill set, I hope that it blesses people. I think I love the process now of talking about it or being able to share it. Like, now that it's done, the fun part is, I mean, it's like I have content for, you know, a year or, you know, more because I can talk about it. It's fun. I'd like to get into more speaking events and doing more things like that. I mean, writing is hard and it's also very lonely. So, yes, I do see another book in my future, and I think it could be a series. I mean, that's kind of the goal, Astounding Truths. There's 100 Astounding Truths in this book, but if you know anything about the faith, the main character of the faith is Jesus, and out of 100, there's actually very few about him. I focus a lot on the Old Testament, explaining those stories, because I love that, and then a lot in the New Testament. There's a lot from Paul. I love his letter-writing ministry, so a lot of it is that. But there's very few that are actually about Jesus. So I'm like, that could be the second book, 100 that are all about Jesus, his life, and his ministry. And again, just helping people who don't know Jesus better understand why he came and his purpose.
Sure. Okay. Well, with this, if people want to get a copy of this book. Now, you just said something in passing. You just recorded the audio for this. So there's an audio version coming out.
Stand by for that. Okay. Yes, that's still some weeks off, but not sure of the timeline on that. But yeah, that was actually fun because it's fun to record it in my voice, and it's sharing.
I'm an audiobook person, and I really like it when the author is the reader, because I attribute that voice with that person. And so when I listen to a whole book and it's someone else's voice, I'm like a little disappointed. Like, oh, I thought that was a old Southern gentleman, but actually, you know, they're from New York.
Yeah.
So, but your own voice recording the audiobook, that's going to be cool. In the meantime, if someone wants to get a copy, where do they go?
Well, here on Guam, the island's been super great about promoting it. Faith Bookstore, both island bestseller locations, GPO, Micro Mall. It's at the Aganya Heights Mall, or Aganya Mall, at the local shop. It's also at Half Aloha. It's also at the library, Guam Public Library,
oh,
for those that want to just take advantage of our tax-paying dollar or taxpayer dollars.
Yep.
And Naval Base Guam at their library.
That's great. And you can buy it online.
Amazon, Walmart.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Yeah, all the bookseller websites.
That's great. So I guess as a parting shot here, what is the main thing that you hope someone, if they get this book as a gift or they get it for themselves to read it, what is the main thing you hope they walk away with?
Well, the main thing, and at the end of the book, that because each section, there's four main sections of the book where I have them grouped. So the first 25 are on the character of God. There's four different themes. The very last section, because I have discussion questions after each section. And the last section is like, there's only one question here. Like, there's no need to add more, is do you choose to put your faith in Christ? Mm-hmm. So for someone that reads it that hasn't trusted Christ yet, the whole goal is here's an expose of all, you know, not the entire Bible, but here's truth from mm-hmm. Scripture where it points to Jesus. You know, it doesn't point to me. It doesn't point to any denomination. It doesn't point to, I mean, I was very intentional with, you know, we're not elevating anything but the Word of God. And again, then the follow-up is for someone to put their faith in Christ.
Awesome. Well, that's a great way to end this interview. Annie, thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
All right. And we're back with a little more Live Till 5. I'm your host, Jared Baldwin, here at KHMG 88.1 FM, Harvest Family Radio. Glad to have you with us this afternoon. Live Till 5 is our live, local variety show, really. We get to interview a lot of neat people. We get to talk about topics that are important to us, events that are going on, and focus on some important things. So welcome to Live Till 5. Welcome back to Live Till 5. Those of you listening live, we broadcast every Friday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. here at KHMG Barragata, 88.1 FM, Harvest Family Radio. We also rebroadcast this show, so if you hear anything and we're specifically talking about dates or events, you know, sometimes there's something important happening, like the drama, for example, here at Harvest Christian Academy. If you're listening on today, April 5th, or the rebroadcast, you know, you're gonna miss this drama. But if you're listening live this Friday afternoon, it's not too late for you to plan to come to Harvest Christian Academy tonight to watch the drama called Our Miss Brooks. $7 for students, $10 for adults. The doors open at 6:30 p.m. at the Family Life Center, the FLC, here at Harvest Ministries. And the play kicks off at 7 p.m. And I heard they have concessions. So if you don't have time to eat a full dinner, I'm sure you can come and get some snacks during the drama. It's a comedy. And I was impressed with the kids that came up and talked about it. I think it's going to be a great time. And I'll be excited to hear how that went. Another event that I'd like to just talk about, and this is coming up in the near future, so whether you're listening to the live broadcast or a rebroadcast, we have the Guam Marriage and Family Biblical Counseling Training Conference. And it's Friday and Saturday, April 19th and 20th, hosted by Harvest here, but it's led by speakers from Faith Biblical Counseling Ministries, Lafayette, Indiana. The cost is $40 per person at the door, but we are making this available at no cost to pastors and their wives, chaplains and their wives. You can contact us at conference registration. So the email would be conferenceregistration@hbcguam.net. We also are going to provide the notes, and there's going to be a meal on Saturday, some light refreshments on Friday night and Saturday. And so you can find out more about this. We're going to have this up on our website very soon, but just want to at least give a sneak peek that this is coming up. And this is not a marriage conference. This is a conference specifically geared towards counseling training for those that will be helping people with their marriages and things surrounding family. So it's a counseling training conference. And that marriage just happens to be the topic of this particular block of training. So now, as we're getting back into Live Till 5, during Annie's interview, Chris and I just were talking about when did we end Live Till 5 and what episode were we on? And on the 12th of April, 2019, that was our last Live Till 5 episode until today. So just 1 week away, we would hit our 5 years ago mark, and we ended on episode 310, and today we are on episode 311. So it's pretty neat, neat to see how God brought it back, because even in that episode, we might pull the audio for that maybe next week, but we said, you know, it's sad, this is our last episode, at least for now. And I had no idea I was saying that with the possibility of ever coming back. And so God generously brought us back. So I'm really grateful for that. Let's move on. I have two segments left. One is very lighthearted, and one is more of a practical thing that I'd like to share. So let's do the lighthearted segment first, and we'll take a short break. I like to call this segment Stranger Than Fiction. Now, some of you might know, today, the 5th of April, there are two celebrations that happen on the 5th of April. One is Read a Roadmap Day. So anyone under the age of probably 33 has maybe never read a roadmap because you've always had a digital map that tells you where to go. But there was a time where you had to go to the store and buy a Rand McNally map or a map book, and then you would have to do all kinds of calculations and navigation to find where you need to go on a road trip. And it was a lot more complicated. Now we're so spoiled. We can launch out into a new city in a new country, and if we have Wi-Fi, we can find our way around. But it has not always been that way. Then the first generation of the GPS was buying a set of disks that you could put into your computer and buy the MapQuest program or something like that. And then you would print maps with your route, and it would tell you turn by turn. Well, and then people started buying GPSs for their cars because their phones did not have that feature. And then eventually, now, of course, phones have GPSs and you don't need any of that other stuff anymore. But today is Read a Roadmap Day. It's also Deep Dish Pizza Day. And that's a day we're celebrating right there. So this is the 96th day of the year. I have 270 days left in 2024. Stranger Than Fiction, because oftentimes truth is stranger than fiction. Here's a couple stories for you. I took these from World Magazine. The section called Offbeat, written by John Dawson. These were posted a couple weeks ago, and this is for the issue of the magazine. World Magazine's coming out tomorrow, but I'll give you three. First, musher, that's a profession, musher, Dallas Seavey won the Iditarod Trail sled dog race on March 12th, despite receiving a two-hour penalty for improperly gutting a moose. During the nearly 1,000-mile Alaska race, a wild moose tangled with Seavey's team, injuring one of his dogs. Seavey had to shoot the moose, and race rules require that any large animals killed by mushers must be gutted on sight. And he said this, "I gutted the best I could, but it was ugly," he told the Iditarod Insider. Race officials later determined he didn't do a good enough job and assessed him a two-hour penalty. Still, Seavey made up the lost time to claim his record 6th Iditarod victory. Here's another one. Sugar-coated promise. Some politicians promise jobs, others promise lower taxes. Tasmanian Premier Jeremy Rockliff says he'll build the largest chocolate fountain in the world if voters in the Australian state return his Liberal Party to power on March 23rd. Under Rockliff's design, the government would fund nearly $8 million to create a record-breaking chocolate fountain and chocolate-themed tourist attraction. The current world record for the tallest chocolate fountain is 40 feet in Austria. So basically, he wants to be Willy Wonka of Tasmania. Here's another food one. This is really interesting. Accusations of plagiarized pastries have led New York's Division of Food Safety and Inspection to launch an investigation of a Long Island bakery. In March, New York food inspectors confirmed they were looking into claims that the Savory Fig, that's kind of a pretentious name, but I digress, a bakery in Patchogue, New York, that they substituted Dunkin' Donuts pastries on an order for vegan and gluten-free donuts. This is like the cardinal sin. If you're a vegan and gluten-free person, and you end up with a Dunkin' Donuts in your stomach, you're going to be very upset. John Stengel, a New Yorker who co-owns the vegan market, said he became alarmed when one of the donuts he ordered from the Savory Fig was covered in D-shaped sprinkles, the trademark of Dunkin'. The bakery's owner has denied the allegations on social media. Very interesting. There are a couple other Stranger Than Fiction stories, but alas, we are running out of time for that. So we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, a little leadership lesson for you. I got to spend a couple years teaching leadership at the college level, and I want to share a little leadership lesson for you as we end the program. This is Live Till 5, KHMG 88.1 FM, Harvest Family Radio. Stay tuned. More Live Till 5 after this. And we're back with the last few minutes of Live Till 5 today. Thanks for tuning in. I know some people might be driving their kids to a sports game or on their way to drama practice or hitting the grocery store on your way home from a long week of work. Might even have a few people heading into work on the swing shift. Thanks for tuning in. People can listen on 88.1 FM right here in Guam, or they can tune in online through your favorite smart speaker or an app like TuneIn or Live365, or through our website, khmg.org, khmg.org, and you can listen to Live Till 5 on there, including the rebroadcast. This is the live broadcast on Friday, April 5th, but we'll be rebroadcasting this very soon. So thanks for listening to Live Till 5. We're back in this last little segment here, and I wanted to just talk about leadership a little bit, because this is just probably my favorite topic. It's something that I got to teach at the college level. Doesn't mean I'm the best leader around. Doesn't mean that I've mastered any of this, but I have found that because leadership is kind of a universal need, so every scenario requires some type of leadership, group leadership, personal leadership, you know, in organizations and churches and families and businesses. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a solopreneur, if you're in a bureaucratic environment, if you're in government work, if you're in the military, leadership just seems to be universally appealing, and it seems to be something everyone needs to grow in, including myself. And so years ago, when I was working on my master's degree in organizational leadership from Maranatha Baptist University, I read a study. They recommended this study in this article by these two gentlemen, French and Raven. They did this scientific study in 1959, and the study was called The Five Forms of Power. And later on, they added a sixth one, but here's the premise, and today I'd just like to talk about a little bit of this and then continue this discussion in upcoming weeks. But when we think of leadership, when I ask students, or when I'm maybe consulting with some business folks or some people that are trying to get a handle on different leadership things, I'll often ask, define leadership in one word. And sometimes I'll have them all write it on a sticky note, then we'll try and group those sticky notes to see how many people are thinking of the same word. And what I find is sometimes people refer to leadership as a role. Sometimes they refer to it as a character quality. Sometimes when they talk about leadership, they talk about maybe an action that leaders take. And so there's no one unified definition of leadership. But if you were to take and break it down in a very simple form, I like to talk about it as influence. So, and that's a pretty common way of looking at it. What people don't like to hear is a synonym for influence is power. Now, of course, people can take advantage of their leadership role, and the power can go to their head, and they can be so obsessed with the power or focused on the power that they lose sight of why they're actually in that leadership role. But influence is power, and it is in this way. If I wanted to, I have a rolling chair sitting next to me here in the studio. If I wanted to move this chair, if I want to influence this chair closer to the wall, I have to exert power on this. I have to take and push on this and exert power, and it'll roll closer to the wall. I'll influence it. And leaders have the ability to influence people to accomplish things and do things. And that is a power. And so Raven and French did this study about these bases of power. Like, where do people, what do they stand on? when they are using their power as a leader. And there are five, and then they added a sixth one, but they said that legitimate, which I'm going to talk about today, reward, expert, referent, and coercive. And then they added a sixth one later on called informational power. And I wanted to talk at least about legitimate power today. So all of these are appropriate in certain situations. And I've found that there is no leadership role. It would be a very rare thing where a leadership role would involve only one type of power. Usually the influence that leaders have are complicated or complex. They have multiple types of power and influence involved. Let's talk about legitimate power today. Legitimate power comes from the belief that a person has the formal right to make demands or expect others to be compliant or obedient. So legitimate power is, I am not following this leader because of who they are. I'm following them because of the badge that they're wearing, the label that they have on their business card, the sign they have on their door, the title they've been given. And I would illustrate it this way. If I was teaching a class and I get an emergency phone call, I need to step out of class, and I ask this class of fifth graders, hey, Susie, you are now the class monitor. You can allow people to get up and go to the water fountain, but they have to ask you. You're the class monitor. And I leave the room. Susie is just a peer to all these other students. She has no more qualification. She's not older. She's not smarter. But because I told her that you now officially are the class monitor, she can lead them up to a certain point. This happens with titles. Sometimes someone is given a opportunity to lead, and they have a certain title that goes with their leadership. So you could have in the military, you could have someone that is a young officer. They could be 22 years old, right out of the military academy. They have a bar on their shoulder, and everyone has to salute them, even though they might not know much about their job yet, and they might not really know much about how to lead. But because they have that little symbol on their collar or their shoulder, everyone has to salute them. And that alone makes them a leader. Doesn't mean they're great leaders. Oftentimes they are. They're taught leadership, but maybe it's untested. So a legitimate form of power is power that comes with the position. This is needed in leadership and in many scenarios. However, it is not a very strong place to stand. It's not a very strong basis for your influence, because as the demand changes, you lose your leadership. For example, a firefighter standing outside a burning building, if they're the fire chief, they can tell you, they can say, hey, don't run in that building. Well, because they're wearing the fireman's hat and because they have the fireman's badge, they are able to tell you not to go in, and you will listen because they're the firefighter. If that same firefighter saw you arguing, you know, maybe with a coworker, and they come in and say, hey, you two, I want you to hug this out and stop arguing. You might say, well, who is he to boss me around? You know, he's a firefighter. You know, he's not a counselor. And you might not listen to them because that legitimate power is limited to the scenario where they've been given that title. And so legitimate power, we're going to talk about these other types of power, including reward, coercive, expert, informational, and referent. But it's a positional power that is necessary in leadership. But if all you're doing is standing on your title, if you're the type of person that points to your rank on your shoulder, if you're the type of person that constantly refers to the role you're in, you are standing on a weaker position than other forms of leadership. And we'll talk about those other forms in future episodes. So that's enough for the leadership lesson for today. Boy, this is a familiar feeling. This is the fastest 2 hours of my week right here. Having to be able to be be here on the air with the listening audience and enjoy having guests come in. Thank you so much to Harvest House sending Joanna over, for Gabby coming up and doing What's in My Coffee with Joanna and Chris, to having Pastor Gary come by, Annie Weber doing that awesome interview about her 100 Astounding Truths book and the process surrounding that, and just all the listening audience, the people have been texting me during the show and those that are listening right now, I really appreciate it. And that pretty much concludes this 2 hours of this live broadcast. You know, you've been listening to Live Till 5 here on 88.1 FM, KHMG, Harvest Family Radio. And that's it for episode 311. We're back, folks. 5 years, took a short break, but we're back with Live Till 5, and we will be back again next week with more Live Till 5. Have an awesome weekend.